Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight what I want to do is I want to talk, we've talked on the last couple Sundays, the different speakers talking about anxiety, talking about fear, and I want to talk a little bit about faith tonight. And so Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, when everything was hopeless. Maybe you've come here tonight and you're thinking, you know, it's hopeless. Maybe that first phrase describes what you've been thinking. My life, it's just hopeless. Everything seems hopeless. Could seem hopeless in your marriage. Could seem hopeless in a situation financially. It could seem hopeless in what the doctors told you. When everything was hopeless. That's what it looked like for Abraham. Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do. You and I face a choice. We can decide how we're going to view what's happening to us. And we can either get caught up in the physical world, the natural world, and see every obstacle in our situation and give in to every negative thought that could pass through our mind. And if we do, what will happen is we'll begin to think not only is the situation hopeless, but pretty soon we begin to think everything's hopeless. Or we can have the attitude of faith that says, I'm not going to live my life on the basis of what I cannot do. I'm going to live my life on the basis of what God can do. I serve a God of miracles. I serve a God who's powerful. I serve a God who loves me. I serve a God who answers prayer. I serve a God who can do what I could never do. And I'm going to focus on him. Well, and so he was made the father of a multitude of peoples. Your faith struggle is not just about you. The way you walk with God affects more than just you. The way you serve God and believe God, there are people that are watching. There are people who are trying to decide, do I want to be a Christian or not? Is it worth it? Is there a difference? They're watching you. Your family's watching you. Your parents are watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. There's a multitude of people who are watching you. And you can be a father or a mother in the faith to them. God using you. God setting you up. It's always more. There's always more to it than just us. So here's Abraham. And I kind of call him Abram and Abraham because it's really, God changes his name and calls him Abraham. He starts out as Abram, but calls him Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. And Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. He didn't look at all the things that were wrong, all the things that seemed like, well, if it hadn't happened now, it's never going to happen. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions. I love that because that, honestly, that's what we can have a tendency to do. And if you're doing that, that's not a faith. And at some point, you have to decide, and I have to decide, and am I going to walk by faith or not? Am I in or am I out? If you're asking, if you're saying, well, you know, I believe God, but, you know, I just don't know. Well, what if this? That's cautiously asking skeptical questions. At some point, either it is or it isn't. Either you're going to believe God and trust God, even if it appears foolish. You know, you have to believe that people, when they heard Abraham's name, they were like, father of a multitude, how many kids do you have? You know, faith can look foolish to people who don't understand. You can't be afraid of that. This 100-year-old body could never have fathered a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong. Ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. Sure that God would make good on what he said. Now, let me say some things relative to faith. First of all, faith is not putting words in God's mouth. That's not the point if they put a point up there. It's not putting words in God's mouth. It's not you and I deciding what we think God would want to say to us and then making that our future and saying, well, that's what I'm believing God for because that's what I want. And that's where a lot of people get off track is they're, you know, there's a general faith. There are some things we can generally believe God for according to the word. So if you've got a lot of burdens, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. You can believe that by faith God cares for you. And that's part of hearing God speak to you is to say, God, your word says you care for me, and I know that to be true, and I'm believing that you do. And so I'm giving you these things because your word says you care for me. And if you care for me, you'll take care of me. That's faith. What faith isn't doing is saying, well, you know what? I need to sell my house. And so I'm believing God's going to sell it by the end of the month. That if God didn't say it, then it's not faith for you to believe he's going to sell your house by the end of the month. That's you wishing God would sell your house by the end of the month. Wishing and faith are not the same thing. So sometimes we superimpose our dreams and our wishes and our desires on God, and then we say, I'm believing God to give me what I'm desiring or what I'm wishing he would do, and I'm believing God. And then when it doesn't happen, we're like, well, I believe God and it didn't happen. When no, you wish something would happen, but God is not a fairy or a falling star. God's God. So the issue is, what did God say? Now, when it comes to what did God say, I think there's several ways that you can hear from God. One of the ways that you hear from God is you might be in a situation where you've really spent time waiting on the Lord, and you're saying, God, I just need something from you regarding my situation, and you're reading the Bible, because if you want to know God's will and you want to know what God's going to do and you want to hear God speak, the Bible is the best place to start. So you might be reading the Bible and all of a sudden a verse jumps off the page, and all of a sudden you know that that's for you. You say, how do you know? You just know that you know that you know. You say, well, how do you know? Because you know that you know that you know. Because the Spirit of God quickens the Word of God to your heart and to your mind, and it energizes it. In that moment, you know what you know what you know. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know what you know what you know. So all of a sudden, then, hang on to that. God has spoken. Have faith. Believe what God has spoken to your heart. I also think that a part of prayer is this. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. So you're asking God, you're telling God what you need, but now you're listening to how God's responding, how God is directing you. You say, well, that's a problem. I'm listening, but I don't feel like I'm hearing anything on my situation. Then there's a part of prayer called waiting. And we all like really fast answers, instant answers. We like to get it right now. But sometimes you just got to wait. Sometimes the answer is keep Keep spending time in my presence. Keep seeking me. Wait on me. Maybe that's waiting on him in a certain moment for a certain amount of time. Maybe that's waiting on him for several weeks or several months. The good news is this. God will tell you everything you need to know to do his will when it needs to be done. But you're waiting on God. And I'm waiting on God. All of a sudden, God speaks something to your heart. Sometimes God does it. I mean, God can do it in a variety of ways. You can be working on something in your heart, in your mind. God can send you a prophetic word through somebody. God can drop something in your heart. I mean, it can happen so many ways as we're waiting on the Lord. And then the issue is, how do we respond? And these verses talk about responding in faith. Now, let me just give you, just quickly, because we want to pray, because prayer is the thing that fuels faith, just as faith is the thing that fuels prayer. So there's a circular effect to it. As I pray, it builds my faith. As my faith gets stronger, I pray more. If I'm not praying at all, then that's an indicator that my faith is weak. You know, if you don't pray, then you're not going to have a strong faith. If I pray, the more I pray, the more I spend time with God, the stronger my faith is going to be. Well, number one, faith sees what God sees. We live in a physical world, but there is a spiritual world. And the spiritual world has greater reality. So Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on things that are seen, but what are unseen, because the things that are seen are what? Temporary. The things that are seen are eternal. Or that are unseen or eternal. So we've got to make sure we're looking at the right things. Too often in life, we get too caught up in the physical realm rather than recognizing there's a whole nother layer over that, the spiritual realm underneath it, around it, and we are spirit beings, and we're going to live spiritually and physically in the future, but in a different way physically than we live today. The spirit world is real. So we have to learn to see things with spiritual vision, not just look on the surface. What does Paul say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In other words, sometimes people get caught up in saying, well, he did that, she did that, my problem is them, when no, your problem isn't them, flesh and blood, your problem is them, principalities and powers. So we fix our eyes on what we don't see. Romans 4, verse 18, look at it. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding not to live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do. He said, you know what? God has told me I'm going to have, Sarah and I are going to have a child, and so I can either look at all the barriers on why that can't happen. I can start asking, well, God, I don't understand this. I can't figure it out. God, I need you to explain it to me. Listen, when you start down that road, that is a dead-end street that is not going to strengthen your faith, because God does not explain himself to you. And the reason why he doesn't explain himself to you is because you couldn't understand it if he did. So what's the use? I mean, so he tries to explain it. He's like, you know, what I'm going to do is in the spirit world, this guy, you're going to be like, what? So we've got to learn to see what God sees and not the obstacles. I always think about that when I get to Joshua chapter 6, and I love this. This is the story of Joshua and Jericho. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one went in. And that's what Joshua is seeing in the natural. He's standing there in chapter 5, at the end of chapter 5. He's looking at Jericho, and he's thinking, how in the world are we going to take this city? And he's looking at it. It's tightly shut up. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. So he can either choose to see what he sees with the natural, or he can choose by faith to believe and to see what God sees and the way God sees it. Because I can promise you this, God sees our problems much different than we see our problems. So the issue of faith is to get God's perspective and to look at it from that. Well, number two, faith understands God's ability is greater than our inability. God's ability, listen, too often we look at ourselves, well, I can't do that. Well, I don't see how that could happen. Well, you can't see and you can't do, so why do you even worry about that? Let's look to God, because he can see and he can do. Now look at what it says. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live, not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do. That's a decision faith makes. I'm not going to live on the basis of what I can't do, because what I can't do, I can't do. I can remember for years, as and years, from the time we moved into this building, probably for the next, probably at least the next 8 years, I was tormented by the fact I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, it really bothered me. Because I felt like, hey, I really see leadership as being a good steward. And I would just be like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And the church is growing, and I don't know what I'm doing. That's a terrible, terrible place to be when you're really aware of your weakness, but that's all you focus on. That's like a bottomless pit. Till finally I really felt the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you've never known what you're doing, and you're doing really good. I mean, why is that plaguing you so much? Like there was a day you knew? Man, you haven't had a clue the whole time, and it's working out pretty good. So what's up with you? And you know what? The way that came to my heart was so helpful. I've just rested in the fact I don't have any idea what I'm doing. Isn't that a comfort to you? You know, I mean, I'm just telling you, I just don't worry about it anymore because I'm like, hey, I don't know. I can't, the answer's not in me. So at some point, what we have to do is we have to understand God's ability is greater than our inability. Verse 19, it says this, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. You can look in yourself, you can look around you and not find the answer. Don't look there, look to God. Number three. Faith believes God's word without demanding proof. Now, look at it in verse 18. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live, not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Now listen, if God had told him the biology of how he was going to be able to be sexually active, and how Sarah was going to instantly become fertile. If God had told him, well, listen, you know, here's what's going to happen. I'm reconstruct your blood vessels. I'm going to do it. He'd have been like, what? He would not have understood it. You know, too many times, what stops believers from receiving from God is they're trying to figure things out, and they keep looking to God for an explanation when essentially no explanation is going to be given. Because you and I wouldn't understand it anyway. And we're looking for God to do something that is not going to be helpful because we're not going to understand it. We have to simply rest and say, listen, God, I trust you and I believe you. Verse 20, look at it. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. Like, God, how will I know? God says, you know, I'm going to do this. Well, God, that's great. I thank you for that. But how am I going to? Once you go there, what you're trying to do is you're saying, you know what? If you'd give me more information, I'd believe you more. What you're expressing is a skepticism in the promise. You and I don't have to understand everything to believe God. All we have to do is believe what he said. But to begin to ask all these questions, and I'm going to suggest to you that Gideon with the fleece, and invariably people want to go there, well, you know, I know Gideon laid out a fleece. The Bible does not commend him for doing that. By faith, Gideon laid out a fleece. It does not say that. God indulged him, understanding his weakness, but don't take God's indulging someone's weakness as a pattern that you should want to follow or that God would indulge in you. You've got, Gideon didn't have the Bible. Gideon didn't have stories like his to look at and say, listen, I didn't need to do that. I've had to just believe God. Listen, that didn't get him anywhere. He still was unsure because he goes down to the Midianite camp, and I'm talking about Judges 6, and he hears people talking, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, okay, now I get it. Even so, the fleeces didn't build his faith. I'm just simply saying, be careful about demanding proof from God. That's a trap. Number four, faith is aware of the spiritual dimension in our lives and the legacy. mentioned this as we were reading it, verse 18. And he was made a father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, Abraham, you're going to have a big family. Now listen, there's people your faith will affect the people around you. My sister comes to Christ and believes the truth and believes she stands for God, and then her sister does, and then her sister does, and then my mother does, and then I do, and then my brother does, and then 25 years later, my dad does. And because my sister believed God, she has a multitude of people in her spiritual downline. I sound like a multi-level marketer. Downline, your leg. I'm going to get my whiteboard out and draw circles and show you where you're at in the circle. But if you're a multi-level marketer, we love you. We do. Anyway, there's a spiritual family. There's a spiritual heritage. Your faith is about more than you. It's about the people who are going to watch you. We're going to ask musicians to come. It's about the people who are going to watch you. It's about the people who are going to see you living an active, vibrant faith. And it's going to change their life. My mom said this to me this afternoon. I called to check on her, and she said this. She watches God TV on Sunday. She, you know, as a mother would, she never misses our TV program. So she says, you know, it's just hard to believe when I look at the TV that that's my son. She said, it's just like crazy. And I hear you saying things. I'm like, wow, I just can't believe that's my son. And she said, because, you know, really honestly, you are a real handful. You know, she said, who'd have ever thought you'd even be a Christian, let alone a pastor? That's my mom. Her faith made a difference in my life and accomplished what she could never have imagined. And even now, years later, looks back on it and says, that's crazy. See, that faith battle, that battle you're fighting right now, it's bigger than you realize. There's more at stake than you understand. And the way you choose to believe God is going to affect a whole lot of people. And God knows that, and the devil knows that. And I'm simply coming to you to tell you, listen, you hang on. You believe God. You be strong in your faith. Believe what he says. Because people are watching, and you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know what God's going to do.